Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's 8:33, and one thing leads to another. I'm Debbie Monterey. Welcome to Overtime for our first day of April. It's April Fool's Day. It's Wednesday. Let's bring in Charlie Brennan. Good morning.
She says April Fool's Day and welcomes me. Well, here I am, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning, Amy Markscores.
Hey, good morning, Debbie.
You know, I have to say one thing. I'm glad that most people are working remotely for this reason, because I don't like April Fool's Day, because I can't really put too much thought into all these elaborate pranks that people do, and I kind of hate them. And there's always that pressure, like on Halloween, to have a great costume. There's always that pressure to have a great April Fool's joke. But now, people's minds are elsewhere. They're not really thinking about that.
No, I am 100% in accordance with you. I am not a prank person. I don't like pranks.
I don't either.
I would just cry. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm a baby, but I don't like, I've never been a prankster.
Charlie's not much of a prankster either, are you?
No, you know, when you get a little older like I am, you just, it's not as cute. But I'll tell you what, I love a good prank. I'll never forget once when MIT, some kids at MIT in the middle of the Harvard-Yale football game had some sort of remotely controlled balloon about 6 feet tall emerge from the 50-yard line in the middle of the, you know, the storied traditional game between the two other schools. I thought that was the best prank in the history of humankind.
Well, it's always a funny prank as long as it's not on you.
Probably right. Probably so.
All right.
And I was going to say, this is not recommended, but I did hear, I think it was one of my dad's friends, they were coming back from a fishing trip in, I want to say Canada. I think it was the northern border. It might have been Mexico. And you get stopped at the border, and they ask you, do you have any weapons or drugs in your car? And my dad's friend said, oh, no, we put all that in my brother's car. He's behind us.
And those border guards have a great sense of humor,
oh,
I understand.
Yes, they love jokes. So let me just say, not a recommended prank of choice.
No, that'll make the next few Thanksgiving get-togethers really uncomfortable. All right, well, this is some serious news, shifting from April Fool's to the reality of the situation that we're all facing. President Trump got serious yesterday, and he delivered kind of a bleak outlook, a very bleak outlook, for the coronavirus's spread across the country, now predicting a best-case scenario of 100,000 to 240,000 fatalities. That was a best-case scenario. So Americans are going to have to make additional sacrifices to slow the spread. The president telling Americans to continue their social distancing, school closures, other mitigation efforts for at least another 30 days, and to think about the choices they're making as matters of life and death. Charlie, your thoughts on yesterday's news?
It was really grim. The president did say he thought it might be the roughest 2 to 3 weeks in the history of our country. Didn't mince any words there. And Dr. Deborah Birx, who's the White House response coordinator, I thought looked especially sullen, kind of wiped out, not too hopeful, not too positive. But Dr. Anthony Fauci, who, of course, heads up the Allergy Infectious Diseases Division for the NIH, said, hey, it's sobering, but we got to be prepared for it. Being realistic, it is a possibility that we'll get between 100 and 200,000 deaths. He said, I hope not. He said, it's tough. But if what happens in New York extrapolates throughout the rest of the nation, we could get these numbers. If, on the other hand, we push the accelerator to the floor in terms of our mitigation efforts, social distancing, washing our hands, not touching our faces. It's possible the models won't happen. So I guess that's the call to all of us. As Americans, we just have to heed that medical advice.
It was very solemn, but I'm glad that the president and Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci were so straightforward, because I think there are still many Americans who need to take this situation more seriously. And when you're talking about best case scenario with social distancing, up to a quarter of a million Americans dying due to COVID-19, I mean, that is incredibly sobering and serious. And so I'm hoping that the message and the tone yesterday further unifies Americans in their efforts, in their mitigation efforts for COVID-19. And at the same time, gosh, you know, it shows people that we need to support the medical community. We can continue to make personal sacrifices. And for some of us, I can't imagine those who are losing their businesses. For those who aren't losing their businesses, at the very least, stay home and don't get together with your friends. That's not too much to ask.
I do worry that the initial rosiness of this, you know, the president said, oh, I was trying to put a positive spin on things. But I worry that people only heard that, because I see people doing unrecommended things all the time. And this morning we talked to St. Louis County Executive Sam Page, and we had some news from St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman saying that they really are hopeful that Governor Parson will issue a statewide mandate, which the governor says he's not ready to do, because they both say it's hard to get people's attention when it's just, you know, people are still kind of doing their thing.
Absolutely. And that's why, I mean, I said this yesterday, I truly believe Governor Parson should issue a statewide mandate. Kansas did, right? The states surrounding us did. Illinois did. And perhaps the enforcement can have some stricter rules depending on the concentration of the area you're in. For instance, rural Missouri versus St. Louis City or St. Louis County. But as far as a statewide stay-at-home order, do it. You can still stay at home in rural Missouri. You shouldn't be going out to restaurants and holding church services in rural Missouri anyway.
Well, let's not just blame rural Missouri. I mean, we had stories over the weekend where people were gathering in great numbers in O'Fallon Park, which is in North St. Louis. We also have, and I haven't heard of any arrests there. People haven't been jailed as the result of that. And when I was in downtown St. Louis the other day, I did see, you know, the homeless congregating here and there. I think that there is a temptation to kind of find a scapegoat or to blame somebody. But let's face it, Governor Cuomo of New York has been probably the strictest enforcer. He's the guy who has every day been articulating what you need to do. And I think that New Yorkers, by and large, have followed his advice. And yet they, along with New Jersey, have cases that way outpace the rest of us. You can say, well, maybe Donald Trump was a little too rosy. Okay, well, maybe he was, but that doesn't explain Italy, for example. And there are areas in our country where it seems as though they've got a pretty good handle on it. Yesterday, Dr. Deborah Birx pointed out Washington State and Northern California. They seemingly have, kind of blunted the curve rather considerably. Well, I was reading a San Francisco newspaper, and they recommended that seniors do not go out at all. Now, I don't know how you're going to do that when you need groceries and maybe medical attention, but, you know, even in St. Louis, we haven't gotten to that yet.
KMOX News Time, 8:43. Charlie Brennan, Amy Marks Kors, I'm Debbie Monterey. Let's talk for a moment about masks. You see a lot of people these days walking around, not just medical professionals, but people in the stores and whatnot, walking down the street wearing a mask. And early on, when this whole coronavirus news first started, we were kind of getting the message that they were ineffective. But now experts are saying, well, they were just trying to save the masks for the medical professionals who needed it, and they weren't saying that they didn't necessarily work. Now the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are considering recommending that Americans wear face coverings in public. The current CDC guidance is that healthy people don't need them. It does help to the person wearing it from spreading things to other people. Amy, where do you stand about wearing masks in public? Do you or will you start?
Well, I don't right now. And I guess unless the CDC really recommends it, I probably won't. Now, I'm not going out a lot. I think maybe once a week to the grocery store. Otherwise, it's just my apartment and running solo down the street. Now, I will say the messaging regarding the masks has been very confusing because they weren't just saying at first, the national message wasn't at first just to save the masks for the medical community. It was the masks could actually make things worse if you handle them wrong, if you wear them wrong, if they're not, you know, put on correctly, and that bandanas don't do anything and you need an N95. So I feel like the messaging was so confusing. I'm not quite sure what to think. If they were to recommend wearing a mask, sure, I would wear one to the grocery store. What I do think is if we think social distancing is tough right now for Americans, I think the masks will be even tougher. And if people do wear masks, it will be extraordinarily temporary. It's just very countercultural for Americans.
Well, unless you're the Phantom of the Opera, I guess, or Zorro. You know, it was really fascinating that the Service Employees International Union found 39 million N95 masks. I think this was in the Bay Area. Is it? How do you forget that you've got 39 million masks? Anyway, they're donating them to hospitals and beyond. Tell you the truth, Debbie, this is the first question I'm going to pose to Dr. Greg Storch when he joins us today at 9:20. Of course, he's with the WashU Medical School. Speaking of that school, Leanna Wen, who headed up Baltimore's Public Health Department and is a WashU Medical grad, she was on the takeout with Major Garrett. That's his podcast that you hear here on KMOX Radio. And on that program, she said two things happen. When people put on the masks, they're sometimes uncomfortable, so they have infected hands and they adjust the mask. And then that germ gets inside the mask. And then when you aspirate, when you are breathing, it's a moist environment that actually encourages those germs to breed. So I think it's kind of a mixed bag, but I can't wait for Dr. Storch to give us his recommendation today.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Amy, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and too, Charlie, how do you forget you have 39 million
on
anything? It doesn't matter what it is. How do you forget?
That's a lot. I was also reading about the face masks, and this person had said initially they were also saying, oh, it's only about 60% effective in protecting you. And then people thought, oh, well, see, they don't work. But the person likened it to, if I was extremely thirsty on a hot day, a glass of water that's 60% full would still be as satisfying. So if there's a pandemic and it's 60% effective, 60% is still better than nothing.
Well, that's a good point. But also, when you are thirsty, wearing a mask, of course, you've got to remove the mask. And then will people have the proper protocol to wash their hands before and after every time they touch the mask?
Yeah, probably not.
And I've seen a few people. Have you guys seen people with bandanas over their faces? I've definitely seen people with bandanas. But then to me, that just feels like, well, hello, little lady. I'm going to rob this grocery store. They all look like cowboy robbers.
All right, we need to take a break here. And when we come back, round three of OT, I know that I've been spending pretty much every single day in Tower Grove Park. Amy runs every day in Forest Park. But could our days of enjoying our parks soon come to an end? KMOX News Time is 8:48. 8:53, Amy Marks, scores Charlie Brennan. I'm Debbie Monterey, and I'm going to start with you, Amy, on this topic because I know that you spend a part of your day each day running in Forest Park. I'm in Tower Grove Park every day. The parks are crowded. Some days I do see people doing things that are highly unadvisable, and I'm always concerned, is that my business? Should I even say something? But now that we have parks that are closing, including parts of at least five state parks in Missouri and some local parks like Castlewood State Park in St. Louis County, what do you think about the possibility of Forest Park or other area parks closing?
To be completely honest, it's terrifying me because I think the parks, the running and hiking and walking paths are keeping a lot of people sane. So the good news is, and I want to put this out there to the authorities that be. I feel like everyone's social distancing in Forest Park. I see people running. They're 6 feet apart, 8 feet apart. If one person's on the path, they'll run into the grass. But it does concern me that if people are gathering, if people are running and walking in groups and the parks get too crowded, that they will close parks like Tower Grove Park, like Forest Park. It's like a parent who's like, if you don't obey this rule, you're going to lose your privileges. And I feel like we are on the verge of losing our park privileges.
Charlie?
Yeah, it's true. Forest Park is jammed. Even Wydown is now like Main Street USA. I talked to a neighbor whose family went hiking, and she described Castlewood Park just as extremely crowded. So now she and her family are driving about an hour west of Castlewood to find other hiking locations that are less crowded. Well, you're absolutely right, Amy. That's why people are walking, because they're trying to stay sane. You know, you're cooped up in the house, and the authorities have told us, hey, exercise is good. But I don't know, maybe I don't have an answer, folks. Maybe we need to stagger the walking.
Yes, please. We don't want to lose our privileges. The park is keeping me sane for sure. And it's good for my health, walking every single day. But here's what's on tap after news at the top.
Well, among other things, Greg Storch is going to join us from the WashU Medical School. We'll also check in with the mayor of St. Louis, Lyda Crewson. Ridley Pearson is sheltering in place, but he's in Idaho where they had an earthquake. And Keith Tkachuk, who has not one but two NHL All-Stars under his roof at this time.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.